techniques of hearing and remembering. Jiva Goswami and Bhakti Sandarbha, he explains the difference between smaranam and dhyanam. He says he defines smaranam as very close inspection with the mind of Krishna's name, form, qualities, associates, services, and pastimes. There are five stages within the progressive development of smaranam, namely smarana, dharana, dhyan, dhruvanusmriti, and samadhi. So dhyanam, which is being discussed here on page 92, Nectar Devotion, called meditation, is actually a more developed and concentrated form of smaranam. In Prabhupada's discussion here, he mentions this manasi seva. First, he talks about kriya dhyanam, the benefits of meditating on Krishna's pastimes by quoting some praman, or proof or evidence, from Padma Puran. A person who is always engaged in meditation on the sweet pastimes and wonderful activities of Krishna surely becomes freed from all material contamination. Then he discusses about this mental seva. He explains that if a person is unable to actually perform Vaishnava activities or seva physically, he can meditate upon those Vaishnava activities and thereby acquire all of the same results. And he gives the example of the South Indian Brahmana to describe the power of manasi seva, which is a type of dhyana or meditation. Incidentally, in the ISKCON Archana Paditi, deity worship book, it explains that before worshipping the Lord, one should sit in meditation or dhyanam and meditate upon the Lord and offer all the articles in his mind. He should offer, within the mind, the pujari or the worshipper should offer all the articles he intends to worship externally. He should first offer in his mind the bath water, the oil, massage oils, the clothing, the boga, the incense, the ghee lamps, the chamara. And additionally, one should offer so many other substances and articles in the mind which one will not offer externally due to time limitations or lack of articles available or money to buy those articles. For example, in meditation, one meditates that he's cutting up some apples and offering some hot milk for Rasa Bihari's breakfast. And that, in fact, is what he offers externally also. But first he offers in his mind before the actual practice. And then later he offers, cuts up an apple, peels it, cuts up an apple, and offers a cup of hot milk with some honey in it and tulsi patram. But during the time of meditating, before actually offering these articles, he should offer so many other articles. Two kachoris, two samosas, a few laddus, some rubbery, some fried cheese, some banana chips, some ampak, some milkshake. So many things we can offer in the mind. And that's called manasi seva. Although externally, so the principle that's given there, that we should offer more articles, more items in our manasi seva than we do externally. And then we should begin our puja. So Prabhupada gives the example of this manasi seva, the South Indian Brahmin who was very poor. He couldn't buy practically anything to offer to the Lord. But he would sit beside the Godavari River in a secluded place and practice pranayama to concentrate his mind. And then he would fix the form of the Lord in his mind and begin to meditate that he was dressing the Lord with very opulent, costly clothing, ornaments, and crowns. And then he would offer respectful obeisances before the Lord. And after dressing the Lord, he would imagine or meditate that he was cleaning the temple very nicely, and that he was going to collect all kinds of drinking water for the Lord in golden and silver pots, water from the Yamuna, Ganga, Godavari, Saraswati, Narmada, Sindhu, Kaveri, all the sacred rivers. He was going there in his meditation. And then he was offering so many wonderful types of flowers and fruits and incense and sandalwood pulp. And he collected everything in his mind and placed all these things before the deities and offered them for their satisfaction. Then he offered arati. He would do these activities every day in his mind. And one day he was preparing some sweet rice in his mind, and he decided to touch it with the tip of his finger to see if it was too hot to offer to the Lord. If it was too hot, then he would cool it down by putting it in some plate or bowl and fanning it with a banana leaf until it was proper temperature to offer to the Lord for his pleasure. So in his meditation, he touched the sweet rice with the tip of his finger, and then it was very hot and it burned, and he said, "Ah!" Oh. And then he suddenly woke up from his meditation, and then he saw that his finger actually, physically, externally, that his finger, the one which he touched in meditation to the sweet rice, was actually burned and red. And then he was amazed. Oh, how has this happened? Meanwhile, in Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan was sitting with Lakshmi Devi, who was massaging his feet, and Lord Narayan started laughing, smiling humorously. Lakshmi Devi asked why he was laughing, but the Lord didn't reply. Instead, he immediately deployed some Vishnu Dutas to come in a Pushma Viman, or Garuda airplane, to bring that meditating Brahman back to the spiritual world of Vaikuntha. So when that Brahmana came into the presence of the Goddess of Fortune, then Narayan explained the whole story. So that Brahman, he attained Samipya Mukti, the eternal place in Vaikuntha in association with Lord Narayan and Lakshmi Devi. So this story or description of Manasi Seva under the category of Dhyanam actually shows that Krishna is everywhere. He's all-pervading. He's in the spiritual world with his associates, and he's also within our heart. So when the Brahman was doing meditation in his heart on serving the Lord, then Krishna was fully aware of that, or Narayan was fully aware of that. So from this we can understand that anything, even things that we offer in meditation, are fully accepted by the Lord, and by doing that Manasi Seva, we will be rewarded and blessed by the Lord. Now, chapter 11 is called Aspects of Transcendental Service in Sadhana Bhakti. It's called Dasya Sadhana Bhakti. In Dasyam, there's two forms, one in Sadhana Bhakti, and later as Dasya Rati, in the Sthayi Bhava of Prem. So, servitorship as a sadhaka practitioner means to offer all one's activities to the Lord and serving Krishna in all possible ways. Rupa Goswami explains that servitorship means constant engagement in some kind of service to the Lord, or dedicating or offering one's actions to the Lord. So the Dasya Sadhana Bhakti means those special acts of the Vaishnavas, like chanting japa, performing kirtan, meditating on the pastimes and qualities of the Lord. So Dasya means serving the Lord in these specific forms. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he spoke a wonderful verse before the Rath Yatra every year. This is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was a verse of prayer of humility. It's actually mentioned in Padyavali. But prayer of humility, and also this prayer, Lord Chaitanya is identifying himself as a servant of the Lord, explaining the Shuddha Sarup of the Jiva, the pure constitutional position as a jiva, to be a servant of Krishna. But now, because of turning our bahirmukh, turning our faces away from Krishna, our constitutional nature has been covered by maya. So a sadhaka should always think, I am a servant of Lord Krishna. And this attitude that I am a servant, dasosmi, this is called dasya. So rendering all kinds of services to Krishna with a feeling that I am Krishna's servant and he is my master, this attitude is called kinkarya. And this prayer that Lord Chaitanya would recite before Rath Yatra is important for devotees to learn. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita and also in the deity worship book of ISKCON, that this is called Bhuta Shuddhi. In the deity worship book, one should recite this prayer before performing deity worship to fix the mind and heart in the proper conception of one's eternal identity. Naham vipro nacha narapatir napi vaishyo na shudro. Naham varni nacha krihapatir no vanashto yatirava. Kintu prodyan nikala paramananda purna britabder. Gopi bartu parakamalayor dasanar dasanar dasa. Translation. I am not a brahmana, a kshatriya, a vaishya, or a shudra. Nor am I a brahmachari, a grihasthi, vanaprasthi, or sannyasi. I am a servant of the servant of the servants of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, who is the prana priyatam, the dearmost beloved of the gopis, and an ocean of nectar laden with undivided spiritual bliss, nikila paramananda. So this should always be our conception of our identity. We have often heard this phrase. It's very popular. Gopi bartu parakamalyar dasanar dasanar das. Dasanar dasanar das. I am a servant of a servant of the servant. So this is an extreme condition of humility. Trinadapi sunichena churorivasehishnuna amanina manidena kirtaniyas dahari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extolling this quality of humility in the Shikshastakam. One should think of himself as lower than the straw in the street, be more taller than a tree, and remember and always offer respects to all others, not expecting any respect in return for oneself. In such a humble state of mind, one can always chant the holy name of the Lord, which itself is the actual perfection of life. So in this Nectar Devotion, page 95 and 96, Rupa Goswami explains these two aspects of servitorship. One is called karma arpanam, offering one's karma or activities to the Lord, arpan. And the other is called kainkaryam, serving in the mood of a personal attendant. So karmarpanam includes the offering the fruits of varnashram and offering the nine main devotional activities. Both are included. So offering one's activities to the Lord, karmarpanam has two divisions. Offering the fruits of one's prescribed duties in varnashram and offering direct service within the nine main processes of devotional service. But actually, these are mixed, because pure devotional service must be free from work born of fruit of desire. So our acharyas, they don't accept the offering the fruits of our prescribed duty as actual bona fide form of sadhana bhakti. In Brahma Samhita, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he explains that this is called gona dharma, or subsidiary devotional activity, when one offers his activities in varnashram. Such activities are not directly bhakti, although they may be indirectly conducive to devotional service. In the Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 25, verse 23, the purport explains ordinary work performed as an offering to God without desire for result is in the mode of goodness. But devotional service, bhakti, such as hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, are transcendental forms of work beyond the modes of nature. Now, Prabhupada mentions this point on page 95. He says, the Vaishnavacharyas like Rupa Goswami say that servitorship or dasyam means constant engagement in the service of the Lord, not offering the results of karma. That's called karma yoga. It's not bhakti. So then Prabhupada reconciles these two points, or two opinions, by saying, page 95, those who are engaged in fruitive activities or prescribed duties according to the four orders of social and spiritual life are not actually pure devotees. But still, they're offering the result to the Lord. They're accepted as devotees, karma mishra bhaktas. When one has no such desire but acts spontaneously out of love of God, such person must be accepted as a pure devotee. So the second category of dasyam, or servitorship, is known as kainkaryam. So this is performing direct devotional service in the mood of the Lord's personal attendant. So this, the difference between karmarpanam and kainkaryam is the actual attitude of the performer, because both are direct devotional service, but one is thinking of himself as Krishna's direct servant. So the understanding is, even if one is engaged in the nine processes of direct devotional service, shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, vishnam, padasevanam, that activity is considered karmarpanam unless one serves with deep concentration and the mood of a personal attendant of the Lord. So there's a verse that's quoted, Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikilash vyavastasu jivan mukta sayuchite. This is quoted in the Madhya Lila, chapter 11, verse 89. A person acting in the service of Krishna with body, mind, and intelligence, and words, is a liberated person even within the material world, although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. This illustrates the devotee in kainkaryam. He's constantly engaging everything, body, mind, and words, in the Lord's personal service. Now, there's discussion of devotional service and friendship. There are two types of friendship, vishwas, a superior well-wisher, and maitri, friendly relationship with a peer. So this means that friendship is based on either faith or an attitude of friendship. And Prabhupada cites the example of Draupadi. Although Draupadi is an eternal associate of the Lord, in her prayer she was saying that Krishna will certainly protect me. So this is an example of Sakya Bhav based on faith. So her attitude of Sakya Bhav is predominated by a very deep sense of faith, although it's not a subject matter of sadhana bhakti for ordinary sadhakas. Nevertheless, Rupa Goswami gives this as an example because there's so much faith in her Sakya Bhav. So this example is given to incite a similar attitude of Sakya Bhav, predominated by Vishwas in the sadhakas. So then the other type of devotional friendship is called the Maitri. And this is at the level of Raghunuga Bhakti, although it's included here in Vaidhi Sadhana. And here a devotee may feel equal with the Lord, equality with the Lord. Or he may even lie down in the temple of the Lord, although ordinarily this is against the rules of Vaidhi Sadhana. But he may just feel that way, out of spontaneous love and friendly feeling, Maitri. He'll lie down or prostrate himself in front of the deities, lie on the floor. This is not to be imitated, but this is at a high level of devotion. So, Vishwas means faith, which has two stages, Shraddha, and which is preliminary faith, and Vishwas, which is actually mature faith. Now, there's the term Atmanivedanam, surrendering everything to the Lord. And this can refer to, because Atma refers to the body, mind, and the self. So Atmanivedanam can mean bodily surrender, or mental surrender, or surrendering one's identity. A sense of aham, I am. Aham and mamata. I and mine. I belong to the Lord, and everything I have is His, and He is mine. So this is, all these different principles here are being discussed are actually elaborations on the nine forms of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnam, Smaranam, Archanam, Vadasevanam. So we talked about Archanam, and we talked about Vandanam, deity worship and offering prayers. And now we're talking about Dasyam, becoming a servant, and now we're talking about Sakyam, friendship, and the final one is Atmanivedanam. So this sense of I am, rather than falsely thinking I am the body, I am man, woman, Indian, American, young, old, fat, thin, beautiful, ugly, we should identify I am an eternal servant of Krishna, and I accept only the remnants of Krishna's prasad. And mine is not my body, but my body is an instrument suitable for the service of Krishna, and this body belongs to Him. So this is the proper understanding of I and mine. There's a nice reference from Hari Bhakti Vivek on page 98, Nectar Devotion, where one devotee prays, "My dear Lord, I may be living within some body as a human being or demigod, but whatever mode of life, I don't mind, because these bodies are simply byproducts of the three modes of nature. And I, who am in possession of these bodies, am surrendering myself unto you." So this is self-dedication, offering everything to the Lord. And then there's the next entry here is offering a favorite article, Nija Priyo Paharanam. This has two aspects. One is to offer Krishna our own favorite articles, and the second is to offer Krishna His favorite articles, such as peacock feathers. It's like we may like pizza, so it's our favorite, so we offer it to Krishna. But better than that is to find out what Krishna Himself likes to eat, by reading revealed scriptures like Govinda Lilamrita and Deity Worship Book. We find out that Krishna prefers chapatis, sabji, and rasgullas and ladus. So if we prepare those things, then that comes under the category of offering Krishna His favorite article. In Uddhava Gita, Krishna tells Uddhava that if someone offers Him the best thing in his possession, or anything which is very pleasing to Him, He'll be eternally benefited. So then, it says, performing all endeavors for Krishna. It's the next item. Tadarte kila cheshtitam. So everyone can actually easily perform this aspect of sadhana bhakti, even those who are entangled in worldly responsibilities. Prabhupada gives the example of a factory owner. He may have a big factory, but he can also worship Krishna by offering the fruits of his labor for the service of the Lord. In other words, he gives donations or money to the Lord for the maintenance of the temple or whatever. Krishnarte samasta karma karanam, performing all activities for the sake of the Lord. Now the 52nd item here is called Sharanapati, being a surrendered soul. So we've been discussing about Atmanivedanam, So there's a subtle distinction between Atmanivedanam and Sharanapati. Because Atmanivedanam means surrendering everything to the Lord, and Sharanapati means being a surrendered soul, or thinking or considering oneself completely subservient to and protected by the Lord. So Atmanivedanam, it means self-dedication, but such self-dedication may or not be accompanied by such feelings of subservience and dependence. Bali Maharaj is an example of Atmanivedanam without a feeling of subservient dependence on the Lord. So it's a question of attitude. Prabhupada quotes Hari Bhakti Vilas, which explains this principle of Sharanapati. O my Lord, a person who has surrendered himself unto you, who is in firm conviction that he is yours, and who actually acts in that way by his body, mind, and words, can actually relish transcendental bliss. So this surrender is called Sarvartha Sharanapati. And the Bhakti Sandarbha, Shiva Goswami explains there are six different ways to surrender. And this is the verse that's quoted in another place, Nectar Devotion. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulya vivarjanam rakshishyatiti vishvaso guptritve varanam tata atmanikshepa karpanye shadvida sharanagati. So these are the six principles or symptoms of self-surrender. Anukulyasya sankalpa means that to accept only those things which are favorable for prema bhakti. Pratikulya vivarjanam means to reject those things completely which are unfavorable to prema bhakti. Rakshishyatiti vishvas means to have firm faith that Krishna is my only protector, and there's no other protector than Krishna, and that we cannot obtain protection by any other activity. Number four, guptritve varana, to have absolutely no doubt that Krishna is their only guardian and maintainer. Five, Atmanikshepa. Offering the self to the Lord is expressed in this attitude. I am incapable of doing anything independently. Unless Krishna desires, I cannot do anything. It means always feeling dependent on the Lord. Devotees who are without any other resort, Atmanikshepa, have this type of faith. Six, Karpanya, which means humility. Which means having the feeling that I am very fallen and insignificant. So pure devotees have this type of firm and simple faith. So one who possesses all these types of attitudes and moods is said to be Sharanapati, a surrendered soul. So now there's a discussion of serving trees such as Tulsi. Tadiyanam sevanam tulasya. So there's a wonderful verse from Skanda Puran glorifying Tulsi. It says that Tulsi is auspicious to see, to pray to bow before, to hear about, and to serve. Anyone who does that becomes free from all distress and diseases and free from punishment, Vyamaraj. If someone sows a tulsi tree somewhere, he becomes devoted to the Lord. And when one offers tulsi leaves in devotion at the lotus feet of Krishna, he develops prema bhakti. There's great benefit in worshipping tulsi. Tulsi Maharani ki jai. Tulsi seva. So this is within the 10th limb of bhakti, offering respects to people trees, tulsi, myrobalan trees, amalaki, cows, brahmanas, and vaishnavas. Skanda Puran explains, simply by seeing, touching, remembering, praying to, bowing before, hearing about, or sowing the tulsi tree is all auspicious. Anyone who comes in touch with tulsi tree in this way, in these ways, lives eternally in Vaikuntha. Tulsi Maharani ki jai.
Krishna Chakravarti's commentary, Vaishnava Shastra Seva, serving Vaishnava scriptures. Vaishnava Shastras are those which cause Bhagavan Bhakti to be attained. One should faithfully and regularly study such scriptures, hear them from the mouths of devotees, and read and recite them with a worshipful attitude. And by restoring old scriptures, by carefully keeping them, publishing and propagating Vaishnava Shastras, all of these various activities are considered to be Shastra Seva, service to the Vaishnava Shastras. Krishna becomes very pleased with those devotees who regularly study the Vaishnava Shastras and hear them from the mouths of pure devotees. Of all the Vaishnava Shastras, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the most excellent because it is the essence of the entire Vedanta. Those who taste the nectarine rasa of Bhagavatam have no taste for any other scriptures. This is the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th Canto, chapter 13, verse 15. Sarva Vedanta Saram hi Srimad Bhagavatam ishyate Tadrasamrita Triptasya Nanyatrasya Nuti Kuchit, which means that any person who has become attached in some way or other to reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, he loses all taste for reading any other literature. Because he's relishing so much transcendental bliss from Srimad Bhagavatam, he can never find any satisfaction in mundane writings. The next entry, which is actually the 55th limb of bhakti, residing in Mathura. Mathura Mandala Vasaha. And there's a quotation from Brahmanda Puran. It says that those things that are very difficult to attain, such as prema bhakti, are easily attained by living in Mathura Mandala. One should hear about, glorify, and remember the glories of Mathura. By desiring to go to Mathura, by seeing Mathura and touching the land of Mathura, by living there and by serving Mathura, the aspiration for bhakti is fulfilled. Of course, Mathura Vas also refers to living in Sri Vrindavan, Gokul, Nandagaon, Varshana, Radhakund, Shamakund, and all the places. And Mathura Mandal also refers to Sri Mayapur or Navadvip. The Navadvip Mandal, Navadvip Dham, is not different from Sri Vrindavan Dham. So you can serve, you can not only visiting the land or residing in Mathura, but by serving there, serving the residents there, by doing Jara Seva, sweeping the Holy Dham, all of these activities come under the category of Mathura Mandala Vasa. Now number 57 is rendering service to devotees. Vaishnava, this is at Tadiyanam Samarchanam. In the Padma Puran, Lord Shiva tells Parvati that of all the methods of worship of the Supreme Lord, worship of the Supreme Lord is considered to be the highest. But even higher than worship of the Lord is the worship of the Lord's devotees. Rupa Goswami cites one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, chapter 19, verse 33. Yesham samsmaranat pumsam sadhya shujyanti vaigriha kim punardashana sparsha parashocha sanadidhi. There's no doubt about one's becoming freed from all reactions to sinful activities after visiting a devotee or touching his lotus feet or giving him a sitting place. Even by remembering the activities of such a Vaishnava, one becomes purified, along with one's whole family. What then can be said of rendering direct service to him? It's a beautiful verse about the glorification of the devotee. Yesham sam smaranatpumsam. So just by remembering, by seeing, touching, washing the feet, offering a sitting place, it sanctifies one's household. That's why it's so important for grihasthas to have devotees enter the house and visit them, because it purifies the whole family and the whole place of residence. There's another verse quoted in Adi Puran on page 102. Ye me bhakta jana parta na me bhaktas chate janaha mad bhaktanam chaye bhakta mama bhaktas tu ne naraha. This is the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha first wave, chapter 2, verse 218, which is quoted on page 102 of Srila Prabhupada's Nectar Devotion. This is a famous verse where Krishna is telling, it's often quoted by Srila Prabhupada to establish the position of the devotees. Krishna is telling Arjuna, one who says that he is my devotee is not so. Only a person who claims to be the devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee. The ninth verse, Rupa Goswami also cites in Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 7, verse 19. The English is, let me become a sincere servant of the devotees, because by serving them one can achieve unalloyed devotional service unto the lotus feet of the Lord. The service of devotees diminishes all miserable material conditions and develops within one a deep devotional love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Next entry, 57, is called Serving the Lord According to One's Position. This is devotional limb number 57. If one celebrates festivals in the temple of Lord Hari, then such a person's festivals are celebrated in the spiritual world as a result thereof. In Sanskrit, Vishnu Chakravarti describes this as Yata Shakti Hindulari Mahotsava Karanam. Celebration of festivals related to the Lord in accordance with one's ability. This means a Rath Yatra, the Hindola means beginning with the swing festival, Janmashtami, and also includes serving pure devotees after first offering service to the Lord. It's called a Mahotsav. Those are called Yuta Vaishnava Mahotsava. We should perform Vaishnava festivals as lavishly as our financial position will allow. Actually, there's an interesting story in this regard. Once, Jagannath Das Babaji, or maybe it was Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, was in Mayapur. And it was actually, a Tirobhav Mahotsav, or disappearance day, of Srila Sanatan Goswami Pad. So, Gaur Kishore Das told his servant, had one disciple or devotee named Bihari Das. He said, today we'll have a grand Mahotsav. So make all the preparations for a grand Mahotsav, Mahotsav, and to celebrate the Tirobhav or disappearance day of the great Goswami, Sanatan Goswami Pad. Then Bihari, after looking rather confused, humbly replied, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Baba, you say we should celebrate a grand festival all day, but what kind of festival can we celebrate? We don't have any money, and we cannot erect a pandal, we cannot buy boga and cook a wonderful grand feast to serve all the Vaishnavas, we cannot serve many people over here. What is your idea? Are you making a joke? Gaur Kishore Das says, no, we will have a grand celebration, a grand festival. We will fast all day. You and I will sit down, we will fast all day and spend the entire day chanting the holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and speaking the glories of Sanatana Goswami. This will be our grand festival to honor Srila Sanatana Goswami. So then Vihari said, all right, let's have a grand festival. So even though they didn't have any money or any facility or any manpower, but they had the power of devotion and the sincere desire to please Sanatana Goswami by sitting together, the two of the devotees, and spending the whole day chanting Hare Krishna and glorifying Sanatana Goswami's activities and contribution and teachings. This is number 58, performing devotional service in Karti. Number 58, Bhoja Brata. Oh, it's actually told in the Padma Puran. Pita Damodara Bhakta Vatsala Vidito Jane Tasyayam Tadisho Masa Swapam Apipakaraka. I will translate this verse. By saying that it's actually said as Supreme Damodar, Lord Damodar is famous in this world for being very affectionate to his devotees, Bhakta Vatsala. So this month of Damodar, which is dear to him, he considers even a little spiritual practice, Svapamapi, to be very great, and bestows tremendous results. Kartik Brata is also called Damodar Brata. And the Kartik is also known as Urja. The word Urja, which is mentioned, so here, someone performs Kartik Brata in Vrindavan, even without devotion. Shiva Goswami says that Krishna easily offers his personal service. The word orja literally means power, strength, energy, or vigor. Srimati Radhika is the energy of Krishna, and therefore orja refers to her. Another name for Radharani, Orjeshwari. To worship Radha Damodar by Shravanam Kirtam, etc., in a regulated manner in Karti, is called orja. Urjadara, or giving respect, Adar, to Urja, Srimati Radhika. Urja is also called Shakti. So the goddess who resides or presides over this month is known as Urjeshwari. Urjeshwari is another name for Srimati Radhika. Jiva Goswami, in his commentary in this verse, he gives an analogy. He says that when a rich person takes compassion upon one who has a heavy debt, he considers a small payment to be substantial, and thus he liberates the debtor from his liability. But similarly, in the month of Damodar, Krishna considers a very small practice of bhajan, as the verse has said, svapam apyupakaraka. Even a little bit of practice, a little bit of devotion, performed with respectful attitude, adhara, Adara, is very great and bestows the invaluable wealth of bhakti towards Bhagavan Sri Damodar. And Prabhupada, these vows that are done for the pleasure of the Lord are called Niyam Seva. So the unique glory of observing Niyam Seva in Karti and Brajamandala is described in the Padma Puran and quoted also here. Page 103 of Prabhupada's Nectar Devotion. Bhuktim Mukim Haridajata Chito Nyatra Sevinam Bhaktistu Nada Yat Jivayato Pashyatari Hare Vartanjasa Hare Bhaktir Labhyate Kartike Nare Matrayam Sakritapi Sri Damodara Sevanat. Anyone who performs bhajan and sadhana without strong attachment to Krishna in places outside of Brajmandala, Sri Bhagavan certainly awards bhukti and mukti, sense gratification and liberation. But he does not award bhakti, for by bhakti, Krishna becomes bound to his devotees. But if a person who is otherwise devoid of sadhana worships Sri Damodar even once in Braj Mandala in the month of Kartik, he very easily obtains the most rare Hari Bhakti. Sri Kartik Bhattaki Jai, Radha Rani Ki Jai, Girag Dharan Ki Jai. So this is number 59, page 104, Nectar Devotion, observing festivals, celebrating the Lord's activity. It's called Sri Janmadin Yatra. So we should observe festival, special festival, especially on Janmashtami, to honor the Lord's birthday. Vishnu explained, he calls this Sarvada Harinam Grahanam Janmashtami Yatradikancha. To chant the holy name at all times, Sarvada Harinam Grahanam, and to celebrate Janmashtami and other festivals. So, one can chant the holy name in any condition, whether eating, drinking, sleeping, standing, sitting, moving about, whether you're pure or impure. In Prabhupada quotes the Vishya Puran, saying that in relation to festivals, that the Janardhan, we wish only to please you with our ceremonies. So this is the mood of observing Janmashtami or any ceremony to honor the Lord, is simply to please Him. In relation to chanting the holy name, how it's not bound by any rules, Nati Lila, chapter 20, verse 18, of Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Kaite Srivite Yatta Tata Namalai, Kaladesha Niyam Nahi Sarvasiddhi Kai. Kaite Srivite Yatta Tata Namalai, Kaladesha Niyam Nahi Sarvasiddhi Hoy. Regardless of time or place, one who chants the holy name of Krishna, even while eating or sleeping, attains all perfection. Now, this is actually the topmost limb of bhakti. Kirtaniya Sadahari, to always chant the holy name of the Lord. Someone can chant the holy name without keeping count within the mind, or softly or loudly, and always, and also by keeping count. So after we can chant a number of rounds, and then when we've finished our rounds, we can also continue to chant without counting. So when one chants the holy name with great feeling and dances accompanied with madanga and kartals, one cannot keep track of the number of names chanted. And this is also acceptable. Now Rupa Goswami is going to discuss the Panchanga Bhakti, the 64 limbs of devotion, and these are the 60 through 64 are the last five limbs of the 64. They're known as Panchanga Bhakti, and they're the most powerful. Das Kaviraj says that by practicing any one of these limbs, one can attain perfection. So the first one, which is number 60, is serving the deity with great devotion. And these will be further discussed in chapter 13, more elaborately. But here there's some discussion, because they're so important. Chapter 13 is called Five Potent Forms of Devotional Service, Panchanga Bhakti. And here he introduces them, and then again he speaks more detail about them. So this is serving the deity of great devotion, Sri Archa Murti Shraddha Seva. And quotes the Adi Puran. Saying that a person who constantly engaged in chanting the name, well, that's where he's talking about chanting, actually. In relation to this, Srinath Chakravartipad, his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he calls this limb Shraddha Purvaka Sri Murti Seva, serving the Sri Murti with faith. So this is the essential point, that one must serve the deity or his beloved deity with great enthusiasm, saturated with love and great care, like we have this phrase, TLC, tender loving care, TLC. So we should serve our deity, our beloved Lord, Radhan Krishna, Radha Rasli Hari, Radha Vanka Bihari, Radha Giridhari, Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan, with great enthusiasm and attention and care. Because if someone is very enthusiastic and very careful and very loving, then Krishna will give the supreme fruit of bhakti. 61st limb is called recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam among devotees. Bhagavat Artha Swado. Bhagavat Artha Swado. Relishing the esoteric meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nigama Kapataro Galitam Phalam. This is the Srimad Bhagavatam is a ripened fruit of bhakti. So Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada quotes Mahaprabhu saying here that one recommends it, Mahaprabhu recommends that one learns the Srimad Bhagavatam from the mouth of a self-realized person. Bhagavat means in relationship to the personality of Godhead. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he explains this point as this. Rasite Saha Sri Bhagavat Artha Atashwadha. Tasting the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of Rasika Vaishnavas. This verse from the Bhagavatam is quoted here, that the delightfully sweet essence of rasa, the wish-fulfilling tree of Vedic literature is Srimad Bhagavatam. By associating with devotees who have extracted that rasa, one can taste the rasa of the shloka of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Especially those devotees have a deep yearning to taste the rasa of Krishna Lila. Shuddha Bhakti, however, does not arise by hearing or reciting Bhagavatam in an assembly of ordinary persons. Now, number three, associating with advanced devotees. It's called Sajatiya Snigdha Mahattara Sadhu Sangha. Association of like-minded, affectionate, advanced devotees. Sometimes says of devotees of allied mentality and taste. Tulayami lavenapi nasvargam napanar bhavam. One verse is quoted here. If someone is fortunate enough, Siddha Goswami confirms, to associate with the pure devotee even for a moment, it's so valuable that even those pious activities which promote one to heaven or give liberation from material miseries cannot be compared to it. And this quotation probably quotes the Prahlad Maharaj Mahari Bhakti Siddhodaya. Yasya yat sangati punso manivatsyat satad gunaha svakular jai to diman sayutyan evasam shayet. Haranyakashipu is addressing his son Prahlad. My dear son, association is very important. It acts just like a crystal stone, which will reflect anything which is put before it. Similarly, if we associate with the flower-like devotees of the Lord, and if our hearts are crystal clear, then certainly the same action will be there. In other words, we imbibe the qualities of a person whose company we keep. purport, yeah. Says that the only aspiration of devotees is to obtain the service of a Prakriti Lila of Krishna. He is considered to be a bhakta. And by associating with such devotees, the development and growth of bhakti takes place. By associating with those that are more advanced than oneself. But if one doesn't associate with advanced devotees, then the progress of his bhakti is checked, and one's disposition or nature will be exact on the same level those devotees whose association one keeps, or to speak of associating with non-devotees. To associate with saintly persons who are more advanced than oneself, who have the same disposition, this means sajatiya, the same family, who can taste the meaning of rasa, rasika, and who are affectionate, snigda, is what is signified by this anga of bhakti. Associating with devotees is the root cause of Krishna bhakti.